Good Thursday morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. This past Sunday was the closing ceremonies of the Paris Olympic Games 2024. It was a remarkable 16 days of competition, gathering some of the best athletes of the world together. If you and I today strolled through the various competition venues in Paris, what do you think we'd see? The seats would be empty. The cheers have quieted. The judges have all gone home. And over these past few days, even the athletes and their families and fans have been making their way back home. Some of them have medals and memories they treasure, and for the rest of their lives they'll be known as Olympians. A few of them can be called Olympic champions. Some of these athletes are now famous, their faces easily recognizable, and I'm sure interviewers are all seeking the chance to tell the remarkable stories of these Olympic champions. Perhaps movies will be even made of some of their life stories. I wonder if the euphoria they are feeling is something like what King Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem felt in the months following the great miracle of God's deliverance from the Assyrian army, which we saw yesterday. 185,000 enemy soldiers were killed in one night without a single arrow fired. Sometimes, in our euphoria, bad news can be terribly unsettling. And that's what happened to King Hezekiah. The record says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover from this illness." 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. No matter your age or where you live in the world, serious illness can be frightening. But when you hear the words fatal, or inoperable, or incurable, other emotions well over us like desperation and terrifying fear. I'm sure the prophet Isaiah grieved at having to bring King Hezekiah this terrible news. Probably they talked about it for some time. Then Hezekiah did, as you and I have done in such circumstances. He immediately turned to God in prayer. Isaiah recorded Hezekiah's desperate prayer with these words, "Remember, Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Perhaps you've had the experience of trying to comfort someone who has received such terrifying news as incurable. I presume Isaiah stayed with King Hezekiah as long as was appropriate, and I imagine the king pressed Isaiah for answers and explanation. As we see in Hezekiah's prayer, he felt that his efforts to honor God with his life should qualify him for a long life of good health. But Isaiah had told him to get his house in order. Do you suppose in Hezekiah's grief there may have also been some growing resentment against God? Do we hold God responsible when bad things happen, especially when it seems so unfair? Isaiah turned to leave King Hezekiah in his deep grief and with no easy answers to his hard questions. But then something shocking happened. The record says, before Isaiah left the middle court of the palace, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell King Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life." 2 Kings chapter 20. Stunned, I'm sure Isaiah froze in his tracks, looked around the courtyard of the palace and prayed, wanting to be sure he had not misunderstood this outrageous and very specific message from God for King Hezekiah. Can you imagine the scene as Isaiah returned and told Hezekiah he had just received fresh news from God about Hezekiah's illness? Do you notice that once again God wanted Isaiah and Hezekiah to understand that God was watching and listening, and God's healing response was because Hezekiah's heart remained pure before God, even in the face of terrible news? He did not get angry with God. He did not curse God. He did not reject God. Rather, he appealed to God, confident of his wholehearted commitment to be God-honoring at all times, in all situations of life. There's an important lesson for us here, my friends. and it calls us to look closely at the integrity, the purity of our relationship with God, and the level of our trust in Him. Did you notice God was very specific with Hezekiah about when he would recover from this illness and what he should do as soon as he was able to get up out of bed? 3 days, and then go up to the temple and give God praise for his healing. May I ask, my friends, are you and I as quick to thank God for his answers to our prayer as we are to rush quickly to ask God for his help? Did you also notice God promised something here to Hezekiah that, as far as I know, does not happen at any other time in the Bible? God promised Hezekiah 15 more years of life and reign on the throne of Israel. It appears Hezekiah was in such shock, he asked Isaiah if God might give him some sign to assure both he and Isaiah that this would really happen. Now perhaps you're saying, but wait a minute, isn't Hezekiah's request very similar to what the priest Zechariah did when the angel Gabriel told him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son in their old age? And then, do you remember, the angel Gabriel struck Zechariah mute until that baby was born. Why did God not strike Hezekiah here? Good question, my friends, and I don't know for sure, but I believe the answer is that Zechariah's silence prevented him from too much talking and bringing confusion to the purity and privacy of the miracles God was doing in both Elizabeth's pregnancy and then 6 months later, Mary's pregnancy. For you remember, Mary came and spent the last 3 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy with she and Zechariah, Luke chapter 1. Is there an important lesson here for us, my friends? It appears Isaiah received from God an unusual sign of assurance for King Hezekiah. God actually made the sun reverse course for a period of time, enough for the shadow on the stairway of Ahaz in the palace to back up 10 steps, 2 Kings chapter 20. Sometimes I'm glad the Bible is silent, and now is one of those times. As Isaiah and King Hezekiah watched the shadow back up, can you imagine the celebration and the outpouring of thanks to God? Can you imagine their questions? God was actually adjusting the entire solar system to make a promise to Hezekiah. Now let's be careful here, my friends. I'm not suggesting you ask God to make birds fly backwards or fish to jump out of the water and walk on the beach or any such thing. I'm suggesting we understand how close of a relationship God desires with you and me and all his people. Let's join Isaiah and Hezekiah simply in awe of God and thank him for the powerful personal touch of God that you have experienced in your lifetime. Has God given you a second chance at life? If so, how are you living your life now for his glory? And here's a great worship song to help us praise the Almighty God who is watching over you and me at all times.